In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his bombs, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, today we are looking at Lesson 38, the Holy Ghost. In the picture, we see the Blessed Mother surrounded by the apostles, and the Holy Ghost as a dove descending upon them, tongues of fire coming out of their heads. And the caption reads, "And when the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a violent wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak." From Acts 2, 1 through 4. All right, I guess I do want to make a comment there about this image. And it shows the Holy Ghost descending upon the Blessed Mother, a tongue of fire above the Blessed Mother's head. And I was mentioning to Sister before class that I have a problem with that, because at the Annunciation, the angel says that the Blessed Mother is full of grace. I don't think she was in a position to receive any more grace if she is already full, but I believe that the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles. I'm not doubting that she was there, but to be the recipient of these tongues of fire, it wasn't given her to preach in these different tongues, and I don't think the Holy Ghost had any more grace to give to her who was already full of grace. But again, it's an artist's conception there. And we will continue. This is the eighth article of the Apostles' Creed. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Christ often spoke of the Holy Ghost. One of the most solemn occasions was when he charged the apostles, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," from St. Matthew 28:19. On certain occasions, the Holy Ghost appeared in visible form. When Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Ghost appeared in the form of a dove. On Pentecost, the Holy Ghost descended with a mighty rushing wind and rested over the apostles in form of tongues of fire. These signs are symbolic of the action of the Holy Ghost. The form of a dove symbolizes gentleness with which the Holy Spirit works in our souls. The rush of wind represents the strengthening of the will. The fire represents zeal, fervor, and the illumination of the mind. The Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. This does not mean that the Holy Ghost began to exist later in time than the Father and the Son. He proceeded from them from all eternity. He is to them as warmth is to fire, existing and proceeding at the same time. There can be no fire without warmth. If there were an eternal fire, there would be an eternal warmth. So, since there are the eternal Father and Son, there is the eternal Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the eternal, mutual love that the Father and the Son bear each other. But instead of being mere feeling, He is a person, a being, God. Okay, I guess one comment I'd like to make here. The Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. In the Nicene Creed, you hear at the Mass on Sundays, we have in the filioque, that one little phrase means "and the Son." So many in the Greek side of the Church rejected that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son, and they would say that the Holy Ghost only proceeds from the Father, and the Latin Rite has held on to the filioque and the Son. That's just the Latin word means and the Son, and kept it in the Nicene Creed. So that really separates the East and the West. That one little word, this simple doctrine of whether the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son, or whether the Holy Ghost just proceeds from the Father. Right? So the Catholic doctrine is that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. And in theology, we say that the Holy Ghost proceeds by way of spiration. Again, we create words to try to describe what we mean here. But as we just read here, the love of the Father and the Son is so great that it produces the third person, the Holy Ghost. And so I shouldn't say produce, because that, again, indicates some kind of time image. So proceeds, I guess, is the theological term we should be using here. All right. The Holy Ghost is equal to the Father and the Son because He is God. True God, as the Father and the Son are, the Holy Ghost is eternal, all-knowing, almighty. The third person is called Holy Spirit from the Latin word spiritus, a breath. He was breathed forth by the Father and the Son. In English, we also call Him Holy Ghost. Other names used to refer to the Holy Ghost are Advocate, Paraclete, Consoler, Comforter, Substantial Love, Spirit of Truth, etc. What does the Holy Ghost do for the salvation of mankind? The Holy Ghost dwells in the Church as the source of its life and sanctifies souls through the gift of grace. Although all divine works depend on all three persons, we attribute the work of sanctification to God the Holy Ghost, because He is the oneness of love of the Father and the Son, and the sanctification of man by grace reveals that boundless love. Do you not know that you are the temple of the God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? From our 1 Corinthians 3:16. After baptism, we have the Holy Ghost in our hearts, and He remains with us as long as we have no mortal sin on our souls. This is the gift of sanctifying grace. Then we say that the Spirit of God dwells in us. We should therefore treat our body with great reverence, for it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is given in a very special manner in the sacraments of confirmation and holy orders. The Holy Ghost is the source of the life of the Church. He consoles, guides, and imparts strength to it, as Christ promised. The Church was filled with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, Acts 9:31. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will teach you all the truth. St. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. When was the dwelling of the Holy Ghost first visibly manifested in the Church? The dwelling of the Holy Ghost in the Church was first visibly manifested on Pentecost Sunday, when He came down upon the apostles in the form of tongues of fire. After the ascension of our Lord, the apostles, together with the Blessed Virgin and disciples, men and women, numbering about 120 persons, gathered in an upper room in Jerusalem, where they spent the time in prayer, waiting for the fulfillment of Christ's promise, from Acts 1:14. But wait here in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49. Jesus had promised to send the Holy Ghost to the apostles. He said at the Last Supper, "It is expedient for you that I depart, for if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." St. John 16:7. On Pentecost, 10 days after the Ascension, the Holy Ghost descended on the apostles and disciples. Notice it does not say, and the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother was there, but does not say the Holy Ghost descended upon her. Okay. On Pentecost, 3,000 members were baptized after the preaching of St. Peter. Many believe because the apostles had the gift of tongues, that is, they spoke in one language, But those of different races who listened heard what was said in their own different languages. We celebrate the descent of the Holy Ghost today as Pentecost Sunday, 10 days after Ascension Thursday, 50 days after Easter. Pentecost means 50. The 9 days of prayer spent by the disciples while they awaited the Holy Ghost was the first novena in the church. Today we have the custom of making novenas, especially before great feasts, to prepare ourselves for them. We also make novenas of petition or thanksgiving. On the eve of Pentecost, it is the custom to bless the baptismal font, as on Holy Saturday, in remembrance of the first members received into the church. How long will the Holy Ghost dwell in the church? The Holy Ghost will dwell in the church until the end of time. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to dwell with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. St. John 14, verses 16 through 17. The Holy Ghost watches over the church, protecting it from destruction. From the beginning, the church spread very rapidly. At the death of the apostles, in spite of persecutions, it was known in all parts of the then civilized world. Thence it has spread to the ends of the earth. St. Paul could say, "Yes, indeed, their voice has gone forth into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." From St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 18. The Holy Ghost gave testimony of Christ and strengthened the apostles to give testimony of Christ. Our Lord said, "But when the Advocate has come, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me, and you also bear witness." From St. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. By his descent, the Holy Ghost proved that all Jesus Christ had said and done was true, that he was indeed the Son of God. After the coming of the Holy Ghost, the apostles gave testimony of Christ by going all over the world, Acts 1, verse 8, preaching and suffering for Christ, meeting death joyfully, Acts 5:41, and Romans 8:18, saying, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." That ends this lesson. Do we have any questions, comments? The only thing that I found, I don't even know if I want to say objectionable, was the image that I mentioned there at the beginning, tongues of fire on the Blessed Mother. I think the tongues of fire were for the apostles, the disciples, who were to go out and preach. And I don't think that the Holy Ghost could fill the Blessed Mother with any more grace than she already had, because she was full of grace, from the moment of her conception, but at least from the moment of the incarnation, when the angel came and announced to her that she was to be the Mother of God, he specifically addressed her as full of grace.
And so the apostles were then the first bishops of the church, correct?
That is correct.
And all of our bishops are validly consecrated, and they descend from that line.
There is a physical lineage that traces back to the apostles, and it's generally not a direct lineage to one single apostle, but it's like the college of apostles, because traditionally three bishops would consecrate a bishop, and so you have this intermingling of all the different apostles, and so really it would be impossible to trace the lineage back to one single one, but to multitude of them, I guess you might, or at least 11 of them. And perhaps, you know, if you want to count St. Paul as the 13th apostle, we could get back to 12 that way, but I would consider the first 11 apostles their bishops.
What about Matthias?
Well, he was taken to take the place of Judas, who had fallen away. But Yes, you could consider him one of the originals because he was first elected to take that place.
Was it before or after Pentecost?
I don't know that. I'd have to look into that and do a little more research. But I'm thinking it was, he was probably one of the disciples. So it wasn't just the apostles that were there in the upper chamber, but it was the apostles and disciples, if I'm reading this correctly. So there was, 120 souls. So it was obviously more than just the original apostles.
So your Excellency, in your opinion, would the Holy Ghost have descended upon, because it says there were women there also, I guess the women that attended our Lord, but since they were not really, appointed to go out and preach, would they have, I assume they received the Holy Ghost, but probably not that.
Not the gift of tongues. I would not think that they received the gift of tongues. I believe it was specifically for Peter and the other apostles who were commissioned by Christ to go forth and preach to all nations. I have no doubt that there were women there and that the women received the Holy Ghost and that they were able to speak of Christ most eloquently, but it wasn't their position or their place to preach. They were not the apostles. I think perhaps if you want to consider disciples in a broader perspective, I think you could include women as the disciples, as a follower of Christ. Anything else?
Really amazing to read over that, what does the Holy Ghost do for the salvation of mankind? It really makes you think about that more seriously. That's the best part about going through this book.
Yeah, and really all our understanding of the church, we're being led and guided by the Holy Ghost.
The elected Matthias between the Ascension and Pentecost.
Okay, so Matthias was elected between Ascension and Pentecost, so he was probably one of those that did receive the tongues of fire there at that time. And we can thank Chris, sister, for looking that up for us.
Well, I thought maybe, but I wanted to double check.
Okay, then nothing else. We will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord, my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.
Thank you.